and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight Black Voices. I'm Brandis Friedman. On the show tonight, why Black Lives Matter isn't lining up to support Kamala Harris's nomination for president. What you should know about a new state law expanding insurance coverage during and after pregnancy.
When there are spaces that are filled with love, that actively heals our community.
And a vacant lot in Bronzeville transforms into a space for the community. And now to some of today's top stories. Governor J.B. Pritzker is calling for the resignation of Sangamon County Sheriff Jack Campbell.
He has failed to explain how he ended up hiring this deputy sheriff who has been fired from other departments. He failed to put forward reforms that clearly need to be made, training and other reforms, and still has failed to meet with the Massey family. That seems to me, and I'm not saying that's a fireable offense to not meet with the, but that just seems outrageous to me. At a minimum, listen to them, hear them, and then hopefully take action.
Campbell's department hired former Deputy Sean Grayson, who is facing murder charges in the death of Sonya Massey. In a statement, Campbell says he has made multiple requests to meet with Massey's family, but has been rejected. Meanwhile, he says that he intends to remain on the job. For more on Campbell's response to his department's hiring standards, please visit our website. Bronzeville neighbors will have access to a new health center. Cook County Health says it's adding the new center at 31st Street off King Drive to improve health outcomes for residents in the surrounding area.
It's been shown time and time again that these circumstances lead to poorer health outcomes and increased mortality. In fact, a study a few years ago found a 30-year life expectancy gap between the white residents in Streeterville and the black residents of Englewood. This is unacceptable.
The Bronzeville Health Center, in partnership with Provident Hospital, will offer family medicine as well as behavioral health and rehab services like physical and occupational therapy. The $10 million, 26,000 square foot facility, currently in the construction process, as you can see, will have 44 exam rooms plus a gym for physical therapy and is expected to host 85,000 visits in its first year. It's set to open early 2025. And if you're just eager to start the voting process ahead of the November general election, you're in luck. The Chicago Board of Elections says you can now apply for a vote-by-mail ballot. You can start by heading to the Board of Elections website, chicagoelections.gov. You can also apply to join the vote-by-mail permanent roster, but of course, if you did that last year, no need to do it again this year. Ballots are expected to begin shipping around late September, and the deadline to apply for a vote-by-mail ballot is October 31st. Of course, the general election is still November 5th. Up next, a high-profile organization is holding back on a presidential endorsement. That's right after this.
Chicago Tonight, Black Voices, is made possible in part by the support of these donors.
Kamala Harris is making history as the first black or Indian woman at the top of the ticket for either major party. But while black voters tend to vote Democratic, not all are lining up to endorse Harris. The advocacy group Black Lives Matter recently called Harris's candidacy into question, as well as the process by which she's been nominated. Joining us now via Zoom to explain is Shavonna Newsom, the co-founder of Black Lives Matter Greater New York. We should mention we have reached out to the Chicago Black Lives Matter group, but they declined. Shavonna Newsom, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Brandis. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with a statement that Black Lives Matter released late last month. It reads in part, quote, "While the potential outcome of a Harris presidency may be historic, the process to achieve it must align with true democratic values. We have no idea where Kamala Harris stands on the issues." Shavonna, what is it that you're most concerned about with a Harris candidacy?
This is going to sound like old cliche and political rhetoric, but I'm afraid of more of the same. As we've experienced in the last 4 years of this administration, Black folks have not progressed. We've seen DEI do away with. We've seen critical race theory do away with. We've seen the wealth gap grow. We see police brutality on the rise in major cities. It's as if George Floyd and all the work and all the progress that our allies put on the ground, life, body, being arrested, it felt like if it didn't get stalled, it got erased under this administration. And without clear policy and a plan and deliverables and a timetable, what's to say that's not going to be another 4 years of the same?
And to be clear, some of the things that you're concerned about, for example, DEI policies that tend to fall under either education or corporate or private organizations. I mean, do you hold the Biden-Harris administration responsible for some of those efforts being diminished over the last 4 years?
Absolutely do. And I remember the Obama administration. I'm aging myself. I remember the tail end of the Clinton administration. The president of the United States of America is the leader of the free world. And it's up to that party and that candidate to get the laws passed that reflect the people. And we're not seeing that. So yes, when you ask me, do I believe that the president is in charge of things that seem to be on the local and state level? Absolutely. Because in past times when folks were campaigning, these are the campaign promises. We've seen the Biden-Harris administration promise us police reform, but turned around under the Safe America Act and funded the police, turned around under the infrastructure bill and promised not to give states money if they defunded the police. So all these things sit under the hands of the president. That's why they are the leader of this country and of the free world.
Okay, with regards to Kamala Harris and her record as a prosecutor, a district attorney, and attorney general of California, are there aspects of that that you find particularly troubling?
Absolutely. There was the Say Her Name Act that we got passed here in New York State under Governor Cuomo. And one of those laws was a police shooting. If that occurred, it's pulled out of the local DA hands and it's given to the state attorney general. The same law was proposed after Mike Brown in 2014, and Kamala Harris declined to do anything about it. She actually said that it would be bad police policy. And you know what happened? California never got that bill. Kamala is always there to show face, but she's never really gone against the grain. And when you look at the state of America, the state of Black people in America, how we are the very least and the most likely to be in poverty, it's scary to have a candidate who is going to go along with the tie.
And I want to get to a little bit more of that. But, Shivana, you've also expressed concerns about the process by which she has been nominated.
I can't be the only one. Every single American who's voted since they were 18 is used to a Democratic primary. We are used to Super Tuesday. We were robbed of that. And if you look at polling dating back to 2021, Kamala Harris's numbers were doing worse than VP Mike Pence. It's no way, realistically, and I hate to say it, as a Black woman sitting on this amazing Black show, but Kamala Harris would not have gotten elected in the primary if Joe Biden would have stepped down sooner. So right now, we're in a place where there's no policy coming out of her campaign website. Donald Trump has promised his folks 20 campaign promises. Ridiculous, of course. They crap on every marginalized group. It's filled with racist rhetoric. But if elected, he's going to do every single thing in his power, even by way of executive order. And Kamala Harris is taking the Democratic vote, and especially the Black vote, which tends to carry the Democratic Party, for granted. There's no policy on her website.
So you've said that, you know, because of all of this, you plan to withhold your vote because you don't feel comfortable voting for either major party candidate. How did it feel to arrive at that decision?
Well, actually, our organization did it in 2016 with Donald Trump and
Hillary Clinton.
We did a campaign launch. I ain't voting until Black Lives Matter. But honestly, listening to the people, because I am located and I own a school and I work extensively in one of the nation's poorest congressional districts in the Bronx, I spoke to people. We spoke to from the bottom up. We spoke to everyone. And on Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are launching demands. Maybe we can go out and support Kamala Harris. That website is going to be blackagenda.com, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard. And we're going to release a list of demands, a list of policies, because I want to vote for her. I want to go back to that old democracy where you had a candidate who promised you things. If they fulfilled them, you kept them in office. And if they didn't, you voted for someone else. Can we go back to democracy? Because we know that nothing happens for marginalized people unless there is legislation at hand. And right now, out of the DNC, there is no legislation coming. We also see with the losses of Cori Bush and of Jamal Bowman that the DNC is going to have a great excuse to say, if Kamala is in fact elected, that we didn't have support in Congress. So it's twofold. We have to support those people of like minds in the Democratic Party who are running at the congressional level. And also, what is her campaign going to do? We faced this in 2016.
We're just about out of time, so I want to be sure. It sounds like she could earn your vote between now and November, but it would be a matter of responding to some of your concerns.
Absolutely. I want to vote. I participated in the system just like my grandparents, just like the people before. And we need three things, just the three top things, and there'll be a whole host of them coming out.
Right. And you mentioned, you mentioned your website, Shivana, and of course, folks can go to our website to find that one so they can learn more about what they're looking for. Unfortunately, we're going to have to let you go. I hope the weather is great there in New York. Shivana Newsom, Black Lives Matter New York. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Up next, efforts to lower mortality rates for mothers. Black women have the highest maternal mortality rate in the U.S. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Black women are 2.5 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related complications than white women. A new state law aims to remedy that by expanding insurance coverage during and after pregnancy. Joining us now with more on this are State Senator Lakeisha Collins, a Democrat who represents the 5th District, Janine Logan, founder and lead steward of the Chicago Southside Birth Center, and Carrie Stewart, founder and CEO of Melanated Midwives. Ladies, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Senator, let's start with you. Please tell us about the bill. What does it do, and in particular for Black birthing people?
Yeah, so as you stated before, that African-American women have the highest mortality rate. And so what this bill creates is a birthing system that works for Black women that they can trust. And we also were confronting birthing racial disparities in maternal mortality. So as of January 1st, 2026, it will have private insurers who will be required to cover all pregnancy, postpartum, newborn care that's provided by a perinatal doula or licensed certified professional midwife. It'll also cover home visits by board certified lactation consultants, including the cost of recommended birth breast pumps, mm-hmm. breastfeeding supplies, and feeding. I don't know why, but I'm tongue-tied.
Yeah, it's okay, because live television, folks, but it sounds like, you know, it's getting insurance companies to cover a lot of the things that people need, not just at a hospital or a doctor's office. Obviously, with the doulas and midwives, they can come to you. Carrie, I want to come to you, because the maternal mortality rate for Black women in the U.S. was 49.5 deaths per 100,000 live births, and that was in 2022. The CDC says this rate is, as we mentioned, three times higher than that of white women. What do we know about the causes of this disparity?
You know, there's a lot of causes. There are clinical causes, you know, hypertension, postpartum hemorrhage, you know, sepsis, but the one cause is racism. And we're not speaking about that as much as we should, the other topics. And so, you know, we're putting programs in place around the city to really highlight the importance of caring for the Black and Brown community the proper way. And, you know, unfortunately, that rate in the city of Chicago is 5 to 6 times. Higher.
And explain how that racism is sort of baked into the system, because, you know, a lot of healthcare providers, they don't view themselves as racist, right? But we know that the outcomes are showing something different.
Absolutely. When you have these preconceived notions of how people live and act, and, you know, if they're not showing up for their appointment, you just assume that they're lazy and not wanting to be engaged. But we're not understanding there can be some transportation issues, some home issues that need to be addressed. And so we really need to put resources in place that advocate and support patients really having better outcomes. And that's a big part of that.
Go ahead, Senator.
And then just to add to that, this bill, it also includes a diaper pilot program, because we know that there's a lot of disparities there. Mm-hmm. So it'll help a lot of a low-income family, an income tax increase to help put more money into families with children under the age of 3. And then also adding more funding into DHS to help out with a lot of those centers, and especially one that we're going to have on the south side of Chicago. So it's loaded with a lot of great things. But again, it is to address the systemic racism mm-hmm. that Black women face in maternal health. But, you know, I believe there's a lot more to be done. I think that we just got the ball rolling, and I'm proud of the work that we were able to do this session with House Bill 5142.
And Janine, she just mentioned the Chicago Southside Birthing Center. Tell us about the plans there and why you believe that this center is necessary.
Right. Exactly what Carrie said. In our city, Black women are 6 times more likely to die because of pregnancy-related. And these are 90% preventable issues, right? And so we know for sure there's plenty of evidence that if providers take care of clients that look like them, that they have better outcomes. And so our work with HB 738, we expanded birth centers in the state to include areas like the South Side, the West Side, and East St. Louis, because we knew those areas had the highest rates of infant and maternal mortality.
Do those areas also experience something of a desert, right?
Yeah,
like it difficult, like not having access. Tell me about that, please.
Absolutely. Since 2019, 4 Southside OB units have closed. And so not only have the OB units closed, we are reducing the numbers of midwifery services that people can access on the Southside. So this bill with expanding what kind of providers can be reimbursed, because that's, we're talking about livelihoods and accessibility to people. If I choose not to see an OB-GYN and I want to see a midwife, whether or not I can pay for it is really going to determine where I go.
Correct.
Besides the deserts and the lack of access to midwifery, and there are no birth centers on the South Side, so.
Senator Collins, how does this legislation work towards sort of remedying, you know, what we've talked about, the mistrust that the Black community has in the medical industry?
I think, again, it's about choice, being able to pick who your provider is and how you want to bring your child into the world. For me, I personally, as a former youth in care, because I had access to a midwife and a doula, I had the education that came with it, and also it covers postpartum. And so a lot of people don't have access to that or even know that these services actually exist. And so it helped me. I raised 3 healthy young babies. I breastfed all 3 of my boys, never had any issues with them. But I think that this, again, is gonna help save lives, because that's what this bill is doing. It's gonna save lives. Mothers should not have to choose between their life or giving birth to their child. They should be able to call their provider and talk to them about issues that they're facing without them being brushed off. And that's what a lot of Black women see in the healthcare industry today. Mm-hmm. And so I've had it happen to me, and I know thousands of other Black women across this state, but this bill is gonna cover women from the Chicago area all the way down to the state of, rural areas.
Missouri
too.
State line. Yeah.
No matter your race, your background, or your income.
And I know,
it's gonna help.
Anybody who's given birth probably looks back on those early days, those first few months, wishing you probably had, you know, a midwife support. Janine and Carrie, both of this, you know, these questions are for both of you, but tell me a little bit about the importance of midwives and how they see and treat patients differently from what they might experience with a doctor in a hospital or a doctor's office.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, you know, the way we were trained stems back from, you know, slavery. You had your aunts, you had your cousins, you had your neighbors. It was a village that we built. And so ultimately, you know, we bring that to the table when we care for our patients. We're family. And so we provide care that encompasses the things that are going on in your home and in your life. And we want to know about that because that determines how we care for you. And not a lot of physicians approach it in that way or taught to do it in that way. And so that's the difference between the way we provide care and the way that others may get it from other individuals.
Yeah. I would even add that midwives, we have the time. I call it like slow living care, right? Yeah. I have the time to spend a lot of time to talk about education and optimizing health when someone's pregnant. We have, you know, greater breastfeeding initiation rates. We have less interventions and increased patient satisfaction, which increases their confidence, right?
And in engagement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Janine, you know, considering that midwifery was outlawed in Illinois in the early 90s and then restored only in 2021, yes. Does this legislation, does it show progress? And what does it mean to you as a midwife?
It absolutely does. So certified professional midwives were recognized in 2021. Carrie and I both are certified nurse midwives, so we've been recognized. But what this means is that folks who have chosen that route to becoming a midwife, and CPMs are specifically trained to work out of hospital, they are able to have access to community, and community can have access to them. I know over 10 CPM students now who are of color and who want to work in their communities. Without this legislation and without them being able to be reimbursed, the opportunities are reduced in terms of, you know, who can access them for care.
Which is why it's important to have an administration like the one we have with Governor Pritzker and Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton and the legislator, right? Because we're able to get things like this done. There was a lot of back and forth about this piece of legislation in the Senate, and I will say that if it wasn't for my colleagues, Democratic colleagues, we wouldn't have never got this bill passed. But it was a urgent need, and I thank both of these young ladies here today because their voices and their expertise and just telling their stories of, you know, their patients, their experience, and then also lived experience is what got it over the finish line. So
thank you for that.
We're almost out of time, everybody. Senator Collins, you mentioned, you know, this is just kind of like getting the ball rolling,
yes.
Right? Like what other, you know, with this bill, would it start to open doors for other types of healthcare reform? In a few seconds.
I believe it will. I mean, there's so many other things that we need to talk about, you know, with the maternal health, but also it's going to cover abortion because abortion is health care as well. We're talking about equity all across the board. There's other issues that women face, and there are disparities there for black women. You could talk about PCOS. Mm-hmm. I mean, all types of things which leads to cervical cancer, but all these different changes. You don't hear a lot of talk about that in our community. So I can't say what's in the future, but I will say that I am here along with our partners to help push the needle because there's
and
so much more to be done.
Very quickly, Janine Logan, what's next for the Chicago Southside Birthing Center? What do you need to get those doors open?
We need the capital. So we're in our capital campaign right now to raise $7 million to open our doors in 2026.
All right. Best of luck. Thanks to all of you for joining us. State Senator Lakeisha Collins, Janine Logan, and Carrie Stewart. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Up next, changing the narrative by creating a place to gather. But first, a look at the weather. The vacant lot in Bronzeville is being transformed into a new space for the community. The gathering space, dubbed the Southside Sanctuary, opened this week after 3 years in the making. The 13,000-square-foot plaza has a performance stage and space to host artists, picnics, outdoor classes, farmers markets, and other activities.
I wanted to design more spaces that made us feel excited, that we could come together to celebrate, that other people could come from other parts of the city, have an incredible experience, and say, that wasn't what I read about Bronzeville. It's important for us to change the narrative, and this space will do that. I wanted to create a space that made us all feel like we were deserving. There are amenities in other communities across the city that we don't have in our communities. We need a space to come together. We need a space to have farmers markets. We need a space to have a marching band as incredible as King Prep to be able to play. And when the Bud Billiken parade comes by, we don't need another empty lot. We need this so that we can sit in the grass, read a book, meet your neighbor, and feel like a community. We don't want people to just come here and go home. We want people to come here. We want them to go to every single incredible business on the block because each one of those businesses has a story. If there's something that you see needs to be changed in your community, don't think somebody else is going to do it. Don't ask somebody else for something. Do it yourself. Go down to City Hall, write a letter, write an email, and express what you did. But don't just express what you need. Make a plan to get it done. If you can't get it done yourself, find somebody else that can help you.
And she mentioned the Bud Billiken Parade. I should tell you, it's this Saturday. The Southside Sanctuary is located at 47th and Martin Luther King Drive. The space was supported by a $712,000 city grant. And that's our show for tonight. Be sure to check out our website, WTTW.com/news, for the very latest from WTTW News. And join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 10. The Secret Service joins us to talk security plans ahead of the upcoming Democratic National Convention. And how the city and community organizations are preparing for a potential migrant surge ahead of the DNC. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight Black Voices, I'm Brandis Friedman. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to recognize its founder and senior partner, Robert Clifford, who ranked number one in the state of Illinois by Super Lawyers Top 10 2024 Illinois Super Lawyers List.